سورة الصافات آية نمبر 114 وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَى مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ And we did certainly confer favor upon Moses and Aaron, and we saved them and their people from the great affliction, and we supported them, so it was they who overcame. And we gave them the explicit scripture, meaning the Torah, and we guided them on a straight path, and we left for them favorable mention among later generations. Peace upon Moses and Aaron. Salamun ala Musa wa Harun. Inna kazalika najzil muhsinin. Indeed, we thus reward the doers of good. Innahuma min ibadina al-mu'minin. Indeed, they were of our believing servants. Allah reminds us again that He brings people out of difficulty no matter how great the trial may be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes people out of them. He relieves the stress. Allah says He supports them. Allah gives them guidance and helps them to stay on the straight path. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always leaves for such people, for such righteous and pious people, favorable mention among later generations. People will always speak well of them far into the future. وَإِنَّ الْإِلْيَاسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ And indeed, Ilyas was from among the messengers. Ilyas alayhi salam was sent to western Palestine. He was from one of the descendants of Harun alayhi salam. The people there used to worship an idol named Baal. And indeed, Ilyas was from among the messengers, Allah says, when he said to his people, Will you not fear Allah? Do you call upon Baal and leave the best of creators? Allah your Lord and the Lord of your first forefathers? And they denied him. So indeed they will be brought for punishment, except the chosen servants of Allah. And we have left for him favorable mention among later generations. Salamun ala Ilyasin. Peace upon Ilyas. Inna kathalika najzil muhsinin. Indeed we thus reward the doers of good. إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Indeed, he was of our believing servants. And indeed, Lut was among the messengers. So mention when we saved him and his family, all, except an old woman, meaning his wife, among those who remained with the evildoers. Then we destroyed the others. And indeed, you pass by them in the morning and at night. Then will you not use reason? Allah always rescues the Muhsinin, and He leaves their disbelieving staunchest enemies in ruins. Allah says, then will you not use reason? And indeed, Jonah, Yunus alayhi salam, was among the messengers. Yunus alayhi salam was sent to Iraq, to Nineveh. Mention when he ran away to the laden ship. Why did he run away? We have read that before. Yunus alayhi salam became impatient with his people because they continued to be obstinate. So he left them and boarded a ship. Allah says, and he drew lots and was among the losers. The ship was on the verge of sinking. So to determine who would be cast overboard in order to save the other passengers as a sacrifice, or perhaps because the ship was overloaded, he was the one who drew the lots. And it was his name that came out, and he was the one who was thrown overboard. All of this was the plan of Allah. Allah says, then the fish swallowed him while he was blameworthy. Why was he blameworthy? Because he had given up hope in his people prematurely without permission from Allah. فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ And had he not been of those who exalt Allah, who do Tasbih of Allah constantly, Allah says he would have remained inside its belly until the day they are resurrected, meaning that the belly of the fish would have become his grave. But we threw him onto the open shore while he was ill. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him a tasbih. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min az-zalimin. O Allah, You are the one who is free from all imperfections. There is no one worthy of worship except you. I am the one who has been unjust to myself. After accepting his repentance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to come out of the belly of the whale. Allah says, But we threw him onto the open shore while he was ill. and we caused to grow over him a gourd vine. The gourd vine is known to give cooling shade and to be a repellent of flies. So Allah caused it to grow over him so he would be healed. Once he was healed, Allah says, and we sent him to his people of 100,000 or more. There were 100,000 of the children of Israel. Allah says, and they believed, so we gave them enjoyment of life for a time. In the eyes of Allah, Yunus alayhi salam had made a serious mistake by leaving the city before Allah gave him permission. And the only reason, Allah says, that he saved him was he always used to do tasbih of Allah. He used to do dhikr of Allah, dhikran kathira. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The dhikr of Allah is the greatest thing. Dhikr elevates a human being. Dhikr elevates a believer. Just to say Subhanallah wa bihamdihi once, a person will have a palm tree planted in Jannah for him. La hawla wa la quwata, to say once, it is equal to having treasure from the treasures of Jannah. May Allah make us of those who keep their tongues moist with the dhikr of Allah. Ameen. La hawla wa la quwata, there is no power or strength to do anything except by Allah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Allah is free from all imperfections with his praise. Allah then says, so inquire of them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does your Lord have daughters while they have sons? The people of Makkah claimed that the angels were daughters of Allah, yet they themselves preferred sons. Subhanallah. Allah says, or did we create the angels as female while they were witnesses? Did they see that happening? Allah says, unquestionably, it is out of their invented falsehood that they say, Allah has begotten, that Allah has a child, and indeed they are liars. Has he chosen daughters over sons? What is wrong with you? How do you make judgment? Then will you not be reminded? Or do you have a clear authority? Then produce your scripture, if you should be truthful. They did not have a reply to it. Why? Because anything from the unseen, everyone knows, has to come from a divine scripture. Allah says, and they have made, that is claimed between him and the jinn, a lineage. But the jinn have already known that they who made such claims will be brought to punishment. Exalted is Allah above what they describe, except the chosen servants of Allah who do not share in that sin. So indeed, you disbelievers, and whatever you worship, you cannot tempt anyone away from him, from Allah, except he who is to enter and burn in the hellfire. The angels say, there is not among us any, except that he has known position. The angels refuse what the disbelievers say, and the angels know that they are there for an assigned task. Each of them has an assigned task. And indeed, we are those who line up for prayer. وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الصَّافُّونَ. And indeed, we are those who exalt Allah. And indeed, they, meaning the disbelievers, used to say, if we had a message from those of the former peoples, we would have been the chosen servants of Allah. The disbelievers used to have a religious competition with the Bani Israel. They envied the Bani Israel because they had a scripture from Allah, but they themselves, the Kuffar, the Quraysh, did not have one. Allah says, but they disbelieved in it. When it actually came to them, they disbelieved in it, so they are going to know. And our word, meaning decree, has already preceded for our servants and messengers that indeed they would be of those given victory. Allah has already ordained that, and it has been written in Allahul Mahfuz, the preserved slate, and nothing can change that. Allah says, and that indeed our soldiers, the believers, will be those who overcome. That has also been written in Allahul Mahfuz. So, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leave them for a time and see what will befall them, for they are going to see. Then for our punishment, are they impatient? But when it descends in their territory, then evil is the mourning of those who were warned. When the Muslims arrived at Al-Khaybar to conquer it, Al-Khaybar was one of the fortresses of the Bani Israel, the Jews became fearful. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Allahu Akbar, and said, Khaybar has been destroyed. When we arrive at the battlefield of a nation, then their mourning is evil, those who have been warned. From Sahih Muslim. Allah says, and leave them for a time, and see, for they are going to see. Exalted is your Lord, the Lord of might, above what they describe. Subhana rabbika, rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. Wasalamun ala al-mursaleen, and peace upon the messengers. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, and praise to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Surah Sa'd. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Sa'd. Wal Qur'ani lidh-dhikr. Sa'd. By the Qur'an containing reminder. Sa'd is one of the letters in the Arabic alphabet. After that, Allah swears by the Qur'an and says by the Qur'an containing the reminder. But those who disbelieve are in pride and dissension. How many a generation have we destroyed before them? And they then called out. But it was not a time for escape. And they wonder that there has come to them a warner, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from among themselves. And the disbelievers say, this is a magician and a liar. Has he made the gods only one god? Indeed, this is a curious thing. When people oppose your philosophy or your way of thinking, and they feel threatened by you, the same people who would have been your friends before become your staunch enemies. Yesterday, the same people loved and revered him, and the next day, they were his enemies. And this is common for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we try to follow Islam, when we read the Quran, we want to make some changes in our lives, then people start feeling defensive. Remember, people feel defensive and conscious of something they do not understand. And when people feel threatened, they lash out on the one they perceive as a threatening entity. But it is not the messenger they have a problem with, it is the message. They said, has he made the gods only one god? Indeed, this is a curious thing. This is the problem that Kufar had with the message of Islam. And the eminent among them went forth, saying, continue and be patient over the worship of your gods. Indeed, this is a thing intended. They accused the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he had started this campaign in order to gain influence and prestige for himself. They said, we have not heard of this in the latest religion, referring to Christianity or possibly the pagan religion of the Quraysh. So they said, we have not heard this lately from anyone. This is not but a fabrication. Has the message been revealed to him out of all of us? They sneered at him. Subhanallah. Rather, they are in doubt about my message, Allah says. Rather, they have not yet tasted my punishment. Or do they have the depositories of the mercy of your Lord, the exalted in might, the bestower? Or is theirs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and what is between them? Then let them ascend through any ways of access. Meaning, let them ascend up to the heavens and oversee the affairs of their dominion. Allah says they own nothing. They are but soldiers who will be defeated there among the companies of disbelievers. The people of Noah denied before them, and the tribe of Ad, and Pharaoh, the owner of stakes. The Pharaoh used to use the stakes to torture people. Allah says, and the tribe of Thamud, and the people of Lot, and the companions of the thicket, meaning people of Madian, those were the companies. Each of them denied the messengers, so my penalty was justified. The Quraysh were familiar with some of these nations. In fact, they passed by Madian all the time. Allah says, and these disbelievers await not but one blast of the horn. For it there will be no delay. And they say, our Lord, hasten for us our share of the punishment before the day of account. Isbir ala ma yaquluna. Be patient over what they say. And remember our servant David, the possessor of strength. Indeed, he was one who repeatedly turned back to Allah. Innahu awwab. In the two Sahihs, it is recorded that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the most beloved of prayer to Allah is a prayer of Dawud alayhi salam, and the most beloved of fasting to Allah is a fasting of Dawud alayhi salam. He used to sleep for half of the night, stand in prayer for a third of the night, then sleep for a sixth of the night, and he used to fast alternate days. He never fled from the battlefield, and he always turned to Allah. Indeed, we subjected the mountains to praise with him, exalting Allah in the late afternoon and after sunrise. Yusabbihna bil'ashiyyi wal'ishraq. Allah ordered the mountains, glorify Allah with him. And you birds also, Allah told the birds. If a bird flew by him and heard him chanting the Zabur, it would not go away. Instead, it would stay hovering in the air, glorifying Allah with him. The mountains would respond to him and echo his glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also used to recite the Ishraq prayer, the Salah at Ishraq, also called the Duha prayer. It was not his regular habit, but he would do that once in a while. Hani said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered her house on the day of the conquest of Makkah. He called for water to be poured into a large bowl. Then he called for a garment, which he used as a screen between him and her, and he washed himself. Then he sprinkled water around the house and prayed 8 rakah. This was at Ad-Duha, and its standing, bowing, prostration and sitting were all equal in brevity. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was listening to that, and he left saying, I have read the Qur'an from cover to cover, and I never knew about the Salat al-Duha until now. Then he recited this ayah, Yusabbihna bil'ashiyyi wal-ishraq. Allah then says, And the birds were assembled, all with him, Dawud alayhi salam, repeating praises. And we strengthened his kingdom and gave him wisdom and discernment in speech. And has there come to you the news of the adversaries, when they climbed over the wall of his prayer chamber, when he was in seclusion at night praying, when they entered upon David, and he was alarmed by them? He was surprised because they had climbed over the wall. He was not expecting anyone at that time. So they came into his mihrab. Allah says, they said, Fear not, we are two adversaries, one of whom has wronged the other. So judge between us with truth, and do not exceed it, and guide us to the sound path. Dawud alayhi salam was so patient and tolerant. He listened to them even though this was his private time with his own ibadah, and they had entered his house without permission. So the people continued to speak, the two men. One of them said, Indeed this, my brother, has 99 ewes, and I have 1 ewe. Ewes are like sheep. So he said, Entrust her to me, and he overpowered me in speech. So one of them had 99 ewes, the other one had just 1. So the one who had the 99 said to the other, Give me yours. Why do you want to keep that 1 ewe? I might as well take it. And he said, He overpowered me in speech, meaning he gave him evidence after evidence, or he said some things that were emotional blackmail perhaps. And after much argument, the man gave up. But he wanted to have this problem resolved. So he went to Dawud alayhi salam. Dawud alayhi salam said, He has certainly wronged you in demanding your ewe in addition to his ewes. And indeed, many associates oppress one another, except for those who believe and do righteous deeds, and few are they. This is a very crucial and important point for us to learn from. One is not allowed in Islam to overcome another one with speech and demand something from them they do not want to give up. Even if you feel that this person is not going to use what they have, it might be gathering dust in their closet. It might be that you actually need it. You cannot force them to give it to you. Remember that influence might not just be based on wealth. Influence can also be based on hierarchy in relationships or hierarchy in needs. Human beings can use any situation to emotionally blackmail another, to put pressure on another, to give up something that the other does not want to give up. This is forbidden. Allah says when this occurred and Dawud alayhi salam gave the verdict, which was the fair verdict, he realized something. He realized that this was a lesson for him. Allah says, And David became certain that we had tried him, and he asked forgiveness of his Lord and fell down in bowing in prostration and turned in repentance to Allah. This is an ayah of sajda. Allah says, So we forgave him, and indeed for him is nearness to us and a good place of return. وَإِنَّهُ لَهُ عِنْدَنَا لَزُلْفَ وَحُسْنَ مَآبٍ. There is no sahih authentic narration as to what Dawud alayhi salam was repenting from. But looking at the event, one can see that it had to do with some influence. Dawud alayhi salam had complete authority in the land. He was the king and the prophet. We see that the two adversaries entered into his palace by force in the middle of the night without any permission. And then one was trying to usurp the right of the other. Both of these events, both of these clues tell us it had something to do with an authority of Dawud alayhi salam that he had perhaps used in a way that did not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah knows best. But the most important point is that Dawud alayhi salam would learn lessons from what happened around him. He had learned to read the signs of Allah. And even more importantly, he had taqwa of Allah. He was humble and he sought forgiveness as soon as he realized that he had made a mistake, that this whole event was so that he would learn his mistake. He immediately fell down in sajda and he turned to Allah. This is why Allah says he is one who repeatedly turned back to Allah when he needed something or when he remembered Allah or when he felt humbled. He repeatedly turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How beautiful this is. Allah encourages us that despite the fact that we commit sins all the time, as long as we do tasbih of Allah, as long as we turn back to Him immediately and seek forgiveness with all of humility, Allah will forgive us and then Allah can raise the status of that person. Ibn al-Qayyum rahimahullah says, seeking forgiveness, repentance is of three kinds. If the repentance is equal to the sin, then the person does not lose their former status, but that person comes back to their former level, the level that they were at before they committed the sin. The second kind of repentance is weaker. It is weaker than the strength of the sin. So the person rises a little bit, but does not achieve the level that he or she had before they committed the sin. The third one is that the slave of Allah repents with such force and with such sheer sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises him above the level that he was before he committed the sin. Ibn al-Qayyim has also written that sin may be more beneficial for a person if it leads him to repent than engaging in many acts of obedience. This is the meaning of the statement of one of the Salaf that a person may commit a sin and enter paradise because of it, or he may do an act of worship and enter hell because of it. So they said, how is that? He said, he may commit a sin, and then it remains at the forefront of his thoughts, and when he stands or sits or walks, he remembers his sin. So then there comes about shame, repentance, seeking forgiveness and regret. So that will be the means of his salvation. And on the other hand, one may perform a good deed, and it remains at the forefront of his thoughts. So when he stands or sits or walks, he always remembers it, and it results him in being amazed with himself and prideful. So that will be from the cause of his doom. The sin may be the factor that leads him to obedience, good deeds, and good conduct of the heart out of fear of Allah and shyness towards him, hanging his head in shame and weeping with regret, seeking the forgiveness of his Lord. Allah loves to forgive. The Prophet, peace be upon him, taught Aisha radiallahu anha a dua to say when she was menstruating if it was Laylatul Qadr, because she wanted to stay up and worship Allah. So he said, continue to recite this dua. Allahumma innaka afoon kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'afwani. O Allah, you are the most pardoning, the most generous, and you love to forgive, so forgive me. Allah says about Dawud alayhi salam, so we forgave him that, and indeed for him is nearness to us, and a good place of return. We said, O David, indeed we have made you a successor upon the earth, so judge between the people in truth, and do not follow your own desire, as it will lead you astray from the way of Allah. Indeed, those who go astray from the way of Allah will have a severe punishment for having forgotten the day of account. And we did not create the heaven and the earth, and that between them aimlessly. That is the assumption of those who disbelieve. So woe to those who disbelieve from the fire. Or should we treat those who believe and do righteous deeds like corruptors in the land? Or should we treat those who fear Allah like the wicked? This is a blessed book which we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they might reflect upon its verses and that those of understanding would be reminded. And to David we give Solomon, Suleiman alaihi salam, an excellent servant. Indeed, he was one who repeatedly turned back to Allah. Allah praises Suleiman alaihi salam for the same quality that his father had. Innahu awwab. Mention: when there were exhibited before him in the afternoon the poised standing race horses. And he said, indeed, I gave preference to the love of good things over the remembrance of my Lord, until it, meaning the sun, disappeared into the curtain of darkness. It seemed as if he was so busy looking at the horses that he missed the time of Asr prayer. He said, return them to me, and set about striking their legs and necks. This was perhaps as an expiation or an act of frustration for him, because the horses had made him forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you do not give up anything for the sake of Allah, but Allah will give you something better than it. Allah tested Suleiman alayhi salam again. In the next ayah he says, and we certainly tried Solomon and placed on his throne a body. Then he returned. Thumma anab. It was said to be a devil or a lifeless body, but Allah alone knows. The Mufassireen, the people who do tafsir and explanation of the Quran, have reported different events. Some of them are from Israelite traditions, but none of them are authenticated in the texts. What is the lesson that Allah wants us to learn? That Sulaiman al-Islam used to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again. Like his father, he too would read the signs of Allah. He too would recognize when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to repent. He did not go through his life simply enjoying the luxuries that Allah had provided for him. Despite being of such high stature, they both had humility. He, Suleiman alayhi salam, said, my Lord, forgive me. And then he asked Allah something unusual. He said, and grant me a kingdom such as will not belong to anyone after me. Indeed, you are the bestower. Even after sincere repentance, any one of us would feel too embarrassed or too guilty to expect more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We would be thankful at simply being forgiven and continuing to do the good that He has already given us a chance to do, instead of taking it away from us. But just like Yaqub alayhi salam said in Surah Yusuf, I know about Allah that which you do not know. Suleiman alayhi salam also knew about Allah what most of us do not understand. Allah loves for us to seek His forgiveness. He loves to forgive, and He loves to grant gifts out of His bounty. Receiving further gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be a sign that Allah has forgiven Suleiman alayhi salam. Suleiman alayhi salam also knew that Allah can give gifts beyond measure, beyond imagination. Just as the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, do not ask Allah saying, Allah, if you will, can you please do such and such? He said, be firm with Allah. Say, Allah, I ask you of this, grant it to me, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do whatever He wants. And nobody can make Him give you if He does not want to give. So this is from the teaching of our prophets, Suleiman alayhi salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be shamefaced, be sheepish, be guilty, be embarrassed, truly, at the sins, at actions, at characteristics, at associations, but never be embarrassed at asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His gifts. Have the confidence that Allah has forgiven me because I truly repented, because my tears fell down my face and my head hung in embarrassment and the guilt ate at me. But also know that Allah never keeps grudges, ever. And because of this knowledge of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted his dua. Allah says, so we subjected to him the wind blowing by his command. Gently, wherever he directed, the wind would blow, wherever Sulaiman alayhi salam directed it. Allahu Akbar. And also the devils of jinn, every builder and diver, and others bound together in shackles. We said, this is our gift. So grant or withhold without account. بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ Allah did give him a gift. But then he also said that he will never take an account of how Sulaiman alayhi salam uses it. And indeed for him, Allah says, is nearness to us and a good place of return. وَإِنَّ لَهُ عِنْدَنَا لَزُلْفَى وَحُسْنَ مَآبٍ And remember our servant Job, Ayyub alayhi salam, when he called to his Lord, indeed Satan has touched me with hardship and torment. So he was told, strike the ground with your foot. This is a spring for a cool bath and drink. Allah tested Ayyub alayhi salam with physical difficulty. He contracted a disease and everybody ran away from him after he had lost his wealth and his children. For years he remained patient, never once complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieved him and said, so he was told, strike the ground with your foot. This is a spring for a cool bath and drink. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a method to heal himself. Allah says, and we granted him his family and a like number with them as mercy from us and a reminder for those of understanding. What is a reminder for us, for people of understanding? Do not become stunted by trials. Grow with trials. Leave everything in Allah's hands and wait for His mercy. One day the sun will rise and the flower will bloom. Allah says, this is a reminder. Then He says, we said, and take in your hand a bunch of grass and strike with it and do not break your oath. At a point during his illness, Ayyub alayhi salam became angry with his wife and swore that if he recovered, he would punish her with 100 lashes. Why did he say that? Because he was simply too weak to move and his wife was the one who was taking care of him. According to Allah's instruction, the oath was fulfilled by striking her once with 100 blades of grass. Alhamdulillah. Again, we see the importance of keeping oaths near Allah. Allah says, surely we found him patient, an excellent servant. Allah loves those who are patient. Inna wajadnaha sabira, ni'mal abd, innahu awwab. Indeed, he was one who repeatedly turned back to Allah. The same quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in Ibrahim alayhi salam, Da'ud alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam. And remember our servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those of strength and religious vision. Indeed, we chose them for an exclusive quality, remembrance of the home of the hereafter. They had conviction of the hereafter. This is what helped them to turn back over and over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were afraid of being questioned. They were afraid of having to answer for their mistakes. And they understood that the time they have on earth is the time to repent. This is the time to reform. There will not be any more time after death. Allah says, and indeed they are to us among the chosen and outstanding. And remember Ishmael, Elisha and Dhul-Kifl, and all are among the outstanding. This is a reminder. And indeed for the righteous is a good place of return, gardens of perpetual residence, whose doors will be opened to them. Reclining within them, they will call therein for abundant fruit and drink, and with them will be women limiting their glances and of equal age, shy mates, Allah says. This is what you, the righteous, are promised for the day of account. Indeed, this is our provision, Allah says, for it there is no depletion. This is so. But indeed for the transgressors is an evil place of return, hell, which they will enter to burn, and wretched is a resting place. This, so let them taste it, its scalding water and foul purulence, and other punishments of its type in various kinds. Its inhabitants will say, "This is a company bursting in with you. No welcome for them. Indeed, they will burn in the fire." They will say, "Nor you, no welcome for you. You, our leaders, brought this upon us, and wretched is the settlement." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often speaks about leaders and followers because this becomes crucial in our life choices. Allah says they will say, "Our Lord, whoever brought this upon us, increase for him double punishment in the fire." And they will say, "Why do we not see men whom we used to count among the worst?" Because they were believers. Believers have what others do not see, the exquisite taste of iman. And since the disbelievers do not understand it, they mock them. The disbelievers would say, "What is the matter with us that we do not see men whom we used to count among the bad ones? Did we take them as an object of mockery, or have our eyes failed to perceive them?" It will be their wishful thinking that perhaps they are here in hell with us and we simply haven't laid our eyes upon them. Inna dhalika lahaqqun, Allah says, "Indeed, that is truth. This is reality, the quarreling of the people of the fire." Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "I am only a warner, and there is not any deity except Allah, the One, the Prevailing, Lord of the heavens and the earth, and whatever is between them, the Exalted in Might, the Perpetual Forgiver." Say, "It is great news from which you turn away. I had no knowledge of the Exalted Assembly of Angels when they were disputing the creation of Adam. It has not been revealed to me except that I am a clear warner." So mention when your Lord said to the angels, "Indeed, I am going to create a human being from clay. So when I have proportioned him and breathed into him of my created soul, then fall down to him in prostration." Allah breathed into him the essence of life. So the angels prostrated, all of them entirely, except Iblis. He was arrogant and became among the disbelievers. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ اسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Kibr, arrogance, takes one to kufr. Allah said, "O Iblis, what prevented you from prostrating to that which I created with my hands? Were you arrogant then, or were you already among the haughty?" This is a telling question. With this question, Allah is giving Iblis a chance. Did you become arrogant momentarily, or were you always like this? It was a moment of introspection, but Iblis did not avail it. He said, "I am better than him. You created me from fire and created him from clay." Iblis reacted in the way opposite to Sulaiman alayhi salam, Daud alayhi salam, Yunus alayhi salam, when they were reminded of their mistakes. They were also given hints, but they benefited from those hints, from those clues. Here Allah asked him a direct question, and he still didn't understand. Iblis still did not understand. Allah said, "Then get out of it," meaning Jannah, "for indeed you are expelled. فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. And indeed upon you is my curse until the day of recompense." He said, "My Lord, then reprieve me until the day they are resurrected." Allah said, "So indeed you are of those reprieved until the day of the time well known." Iblis said, "By your might, I will surely mislead them all except among them your chosen servants." He swore by Allah that he will mislead human beings. Allah said, "The truth is my oath, and the truth I say, that I will surely fill hell with you and those of them that follow you altogether." Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "I do not ask you for it, the Quran, any payment, and I am not of the pretentious," meaning I am truly straightforward and honest. "In huwa illa dhikru lil alameen, it is but a reminder to the worlds, and you will surely know the truth of its information after a time." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "We have been forbidden from takalluf, from pretentiousness. Be yourself. Politeness and pretentiousness are two different things. If you are hungry, say so. If you are thirsty, say so. If you are tired, accept it. And then people will know that you always mean what you say. And a believer always means what she says."